Mark 3, verse 13. And he, Jesus, went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. This is a special passage. The ministry of Jesus is in full swing. The common people of the area follow Jesus because he preaches the word of God in power and because he's working miracles for the glory of God. The religious leaders, on the other hand, hate Jesus because he refuses to play by their rules and because he exposes them for the hypocrites that they are. Our Lord's days are filled with ministry and things are happening at a hectic pace. These verses find Jesus taking some time out of his frantic schedule. He takes the time to commune with his Father and to choose the 12 men who will be his representatives to the lost sheep of Israel. I said this passage was special, and it is because it reminds us that anyone who will follow the Lord can be used by the Lord. As we look at the kind of men Jesus chose and used in those days, it gives us hope in these days of ours. If Jesus can use men like these in the manner that he did, then surely he can use you and me in these days. If you are saved, I want you to know that you have a place in the Lord's service. Let's look into these verses and observe the blessings revealed to you as we look at the subject of the choosing of the 12. In verse 13 of our text, we see the Master goes up to the mountain and he calls to the Father those he himself wanted, and they came to him. In this verse of our text, the focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. He has stepped outside from his public work for a time of solitude. A time of solitude, something many of us know nothing of today in this hectic world. He has left the crowd so that he might call his disciples. Let's look at some truths that are revealed here. First of all, we see a time of special communion. Mark tells us that Jesus went up on the mountain, or other translations has goeth up into a mountain. Luke is a little bit more specific in his account. He tells us that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Jesus is about to ordain 12 men who will be his spokesmen, his representatives to the people of Israel. This is a big decision, and Jesus wants to be sure that he knows the mind of the Father. Thus, he sought a private place and spent the night in prayer, seeking his Father's will. What a lesson for us. Jesus, God the Son, God in the flesh, feels the need to commune with God the Father before he made a big decision. Jesus took time out of his busy schedule to spend a protracted time in prayer. Jesus saw the great need of reaching out to the Father for the help that he needed day by day. The fact that Jesus made prayer a priority in his life highlights our own need to seek the Father in prayer. We are not God in the flesh. We are not the Savior. We are not the Redeemer. We are just a group of people that should have been sent to hell, if the truth be told. But God, in His great grace and mercy, He reached out to us and He saved us from our sins. He brought us into His family and He gave us the privilege of prayer. The privilege of prayer. So often many of us find prayer as a chore, as opposed to a privilege. Just a brief glimpse at prayer and the promises attached to it, that should be enough in and of itself to show us the importance. Look at Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33 says this: "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." What a blessed promise. "Call on me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." You do not know them. Calling out to the Father, He says He'll answer you. He'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's why I said prayer is a privilege, not so much a chore. But so often we find it to be a chore as opposed to a privilege. Isaiah 65:24. "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear." What a blessed promise. "It shall come to pass that before they call," before you even call, "I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear." God promises to hear our prayers. Not only has God promised to hear our prayers, God also promises to answer our prayers. Look at Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. As I said, not only does He hear our prayers, but He says that He answers our prayers. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." Not only does God hear our prayers, but God also answers our prayers. God uses our prayers also to accomplish His will in the world. He hears our prayers, He answers our prayers, and He uses our prayers to accomplish His will in the world. Look at James 5, verses 16 through 18. "Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. See, he was a sinner like us. "And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months." We can't even believe a promise like that. Verse 18. "And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God has promised to hear our prayers. God has promised to answer our prayers. God uses our prayers to accomplish His will in the world. God knows what you're going to ask before you ask it. Since that is true, some people have wondered about the need to pray. After all, God's only going to do what He pleases to do anyway. You know, after all, he is sovereign. Your prayers and mine change nothing. So why pray? Have you ever thought that the whole end of prayer might be prayer itself? Have you ever thought that the whole end of prayer might be prayer itself? Have you ever considered the truth that God commands us to pray because He wants us to fellowship with Him? He wants us to commune with Him? He desires for us to pray so that we might spend time in His presence? Maybe that is what God wants, to fellowship with us, to commune with Him, to be in His presence, to spend time in His presence, to be with Him. And Christ went up on the mountain and called to Him those He Himself wanted, and they came to Him. He communed with the Father. Of course, the more time you spend with the Father, the more you begin to think like Him. Why should you pray? Maybe so that you begin to think like God. After a while, you may only start to ask for those things that you know will glorify Him. Communion with God brings closeness to God. And that is the primary desire for your life. That becomes the primary desire for your life, that you would get to know God, that you would glorify God, that you would commune with God, that you would commune with Him, understand His thoughts. Micah 6:8 tells us, He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So now if you are communing with God, fellowshipping with God, in His presence, praying, taking that scripture to the Lord in prayer, chewing over it, meditating on it, talking to the Lord about it, you begin to think the thoughts of God. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. You want to know what good is? What does the Lord require of you? What is the Lord's will in your life? That you would do justly. That you would love mercy. And walk humbly with thy God. Communing with God, you find out to do justly. To love mercy. To walk humbly. Let me encourage you to be a man or a woman of prayer. Seek the Lord and seek Him often. Nothing will develop your life any more than prayer. Prayer will develop your life. I mentioned, why bother to pray if God is sovereign? There have been great multitudes following Jesus as He moved from place to place and ministered. Now He chooses 12 men from among those vast multitudes to be His disciples. He had already called them to follow Him. We saw that with Peter, Andrew, James, John, and Matthew. Now He calls them to a special place of service. First He had called them. He had told them to follow Me. Now He calls them for a special place of service. A call unto salvation, a call unto service. Matthew 10, verse 2 tells us that these men were set aside and were called apostles. This world of ours speaks of one sent with orders. It refers to a representative of a king. This is what an apostle is. One sent with orders. A representative of the king, one who speaks with the king's authority, and one who must not be ignored. Jesus Christ handpicked these 12 men and sent them out with a message. Why did He call these men and not other men? Why were these singled out for this great honor? Was it something they possessed that others man lacked? Were they especially spiritual and close to the Lord? Did he know that they would make great preachers? The Bible says he called on them whom he would. Those that he himself wanted, they came to him. He called unto him who he would. There was nothing special in these men. As we shall see in further studies, they were common men with common deficiencies and common problems. So why did he call them? Because he wanted to. Because he wanted to. Because he is sovereign. Why did he call them? Because he wanted them. He wanted them. He appointed them. He chose them. It was his sovereign choice, and it was based on his own will. He went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. May I just say that it is a privilege to be chosen by him. You will notice that when he called, they came. That is how this works. He called, they came. And he went up on a mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. First of all, he called me to come to him for salvation. His call would not go away and it would not be denied. When I came to him by faith and asked him to save me, he did just that. He came into my life and changed me completely, and he made me a new creature. I didn't deserve that, but he came to me. He sovereignly chose to come to me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. That is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. He simply chose me, as the scripture says. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you. He calls unto salvation, and you come. No one deserves it. It's by grace, through faith. It's not of yourselves. But not only does the Lord call you, and he calls every one of us to a different thing, but he's called me, for instance, to preach his word. His call came, and it would not go away. It would not go away. I did not want the job. It was his choosing. And what an honor it is to be called to handle the word of God. It is a privilege to be a preacher. You might not be a preacher, but he has called you to serve him too. He calls every person that he saves into his service. As I read the Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, verse 10 of that same chapter in Ephesians says this: for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, in order that we should walk in them. When he saves you, he's gifted you and giving you a place in the body of Christ. I encourage you to seek his face, to find your gifts, and to get busy for the Lord. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He has called each and every one of us to a work. You spend time with the Lord in prayer. You find out what that is that the Lord has called you to, and then you will begin to see the Lord open doors that you would begin that work. You will see those around you start to confirm different gifts that they see in your lives. You will see doors begin to open, doors that God has sovereignly decreed that should be open for you, for your His workmanship. All of us have been called to something. He went up on the mountain and called to Him those He wanted Himself, and they came to Him. He calls, and we come. We're to seek His face, find our gifts, and get busy for the Lord. Jesus could have chosen 1,000 different ways to get His work done on the earth. He could have used angels. He could have done it Himself. Could have used angels, could have done it Himself. He could have created a special race of people to do it. Hey, wait a minute. That's just what He did. He did create a special race of people to do it. Behold, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He has created a special race of people. He saved us out of our sins, created us as a special race to do His will on the earth. He chose you. We're to get busy. We're to serve Him. For His call will not go away. That is a reason why many people sometimes don't pray. We know what the Lord's will is in our life, and we don't want to pray. Because every time we pray, when we fellowship with Him, when we commune with Him, He keeps on telling us things He wants us to do. And we just don't want to do it. Let's be honest with ourselves. He calls us to do something, and then we fight, and we fight, and we fight. We could even get religious about it, and then we go and do another, quote-unquote, work for the Lord. Because we refuse to do the very thing that He's called us to do. But I would just remind you what Romans 11 verse 29 says. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. He's not going to change His mind. He's sovereign. He gets what He wants. He went up on the mountain and called to Him those He Himself wanted. And they came to Him. And they came to Him. He called. They came. He called. You will come. He called. They came.